Holy Spirit this morning, and we're going to look at the first two verses of the Bible. Most of you can quote those two verses, but that's where we're going to start this morning. It was a little boy that had a dog, and his dog had puppies, and so the Catholics were meeting in town, so he took the box of puppies down and put them in front of the church on the sidewalk and said, "Catholic puppies, $5. And so he sold some of them, but they had some of them left over. So 2 weeks later, the Baptist had a meeting in town. So he took the box down and sat in front of the Baptist church and said, "Baptist puppies, $5. And someone went up to him and said, "Now listen, 2 weeks ago they were Catholic puppies. Now they're Baptist puppies. What's the difference?" He said, "Well, that's easy. Now their eyes are open." So yeah, the role of the Holy Spirit in inspiration, but the role of the Holy Spirit in illumination. The Holy Spirit, the author of the Bible, is in our hearts and guides us in understanding when we read the Bible. Look at Genesis 1, 1 and 2. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Now, if you look at the old writings of the rabbis, the Targum of Onkelos, and the Targums are the Aramaic paraphrase of the Hebrew Bible. The Targum of Onkelos translates this: "The Holy Spirit hovered. The Holy Spirit was brooding. The Holy Spirit was present and over the whole world." The third person of the Trinity, the third person of the Godhead. Dr. Carl Bates, who baptized my mother when he was pastor of First Baptist Leesburg, became pastor of First Baptist Church Charlotte, North Carolina, and president of the Southern Baptist Convention in 1970. Dr. Bates said one time, rather ironically, "If God called the Holy Spirit out of the world, about 95% of what we're doing, we'd keep on doing, and we keep on bragging about it." Because we really don't trust the Holy Spirit to energize us as we serve God. Zechariah says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord." People want to talk about separation of church and state, but we really need to talk about separating the church from the world and having the church energized by the Holy Spirit. I heard a pastor recently say, "Unless there is within us that which is without us, we shall soon yield to that which is around us." Unless there is within us that which is without us, we shall soon yield to that which is around us. We minimize sin, we magnify man, we marginalize God. We really need a fresh dose of the Holy Spirit. So I want to talk about four things this morning: the method of the Holy Spirit, the mission of the Holy Spirit, the makeup of the Holy Spirit, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to do those 4 points, and then you'll know it's time to go home. Or you can beat the Methodist to Sonny's barbecue, okay? So first of all, the mention of the Holy Spirit. This is it, the law of first mention. When you start looking at things in the Bible, where did they talk about it first in the Bible? And the Holy Spirit is present with God, third person of the Trinity, hovering over the world as God remakes it in Genesis chapter 1. It is called the Spirit of God. In the Old Testament, he came and went. The Bible says he came upon Saul when Saul was anointed king of Israel. But when King Saul sinned, and this is 1 Samuel 16:14, God took his Holy Spirit away and sent an evil spirit to trouble Saul. Which is why in Psalm 51, after David sinned, he prayed, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Because the Holy Spirit wasn't on or in everybody. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon a few special people and anointed them to do the special mission God had them to do. So that's the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. Now, the mission of the Holy Spirit is never to brag about himself, never to talk about himself. The mission of the Holy Spirit is to speak what God tells him to speak. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come, he shall glorify me. This glorifying of the Holy Spirit, this praying to the Holy Spirit, is unbiblical. Jesus taught us how to pray, and Jesus taught us to pray to God the Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Who did Paul pray to? Paul didn't pray to the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Philippians, for this cause I bow my knee unto the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus and Paul said, pray to God, not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not there to glorify himself. The Holy Spirit is there to glorify Jesus. Acts 13:12, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said to the disciples, separate me, Barnabas and Paul, for thy work whereunto I have called them. So the Holy Spirit glorifies Jesus and speaks what he hears from God, third person of the Trinity. The mention of the Holy Spirit, Genesis 1:1, the mission of the Holy Spirit, he speaks what he hears, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and the makeup of the Holy Spirit. How's the Holy Spirit made up? He's a person. He's not a it. He's a he. He is a person. First of all, God sends him into the world. The Son sends him into the world. You can vex the Holy Spirit. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. You can quench the Holy Spirit. You can blaspheme the Holy Spirit. You can lie to the Holy Spirit. You can disrespect the Holy Spirit. And you can speak against the Holy Spirit. And if you want them later, I've got verses for all of those. The Bible says he has personality. He is called another comforter, another advocate. Jesus is an advocate. Holy Spirit is another advocate. The pronouns, most of the time he's referred to as he, the Holy Spirit. He's a he, not a it. He is called God. And there are several passages where in the Old Testament it says God will do this, but in the New Testament it says the Holy Spirit's the one that does it. The Holy Spirit is equated with God several times. None the least is Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5, they ask Ananias and Sapphira. Now, they were the church givers, remember? Ananias and Sapphira, they were the ones that said, okay, we sold a piece of land, here's all the money, but they kept some of it back. They lied about it. They lied about it, okay? They were the first church members to have cirrhosis of the giver. So they lied about it. And in verse 3, Peter says, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? And in two verses later, he says, you've not lied to people, you have lied to God. Apparently the Holy Ghost and God are the same person. He has the attributes of God. He performs the same works as God. The personal pronouns for God are used of the Holy Spirit. So do we understand the Trinity? No. They've been trying to explain the Trinity for 2,000 years, and we still can't do it. There are three persons within the one God. They are co-equal in power and glory. The being of God is complex. Okay? Now, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I found at least 11 ministries of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. First of all, the ministry of membership. You're a member of the church. If you've been born again by the Holy Spirit, John 3:3, you must be born again. 1 Corinthians 12:12, by one Spirit are you baptized into one body. We are baptized into the body of Christ when we accept Christ as our personal Savior. Now, all these Pentecostal people that want to talk about, oh, you've been saved for many years, but have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit? There's a new experience you can have. No, there's not. You were baptized by the Spirit when you were born again, and it's very plain in the Bible. So the ministry of membership, the ministry of citizenship. Paul says in Philippians 3:20, our citizenship is in heaven. We are members and citizens of the kingdom of God. So once the Holy Spirit regenerates us, we are born again. We become citizens of God's kingdom. Our citizenship is in heaven. The ministry of membership, the ministry of citizenship, the ministry of ownership. God owns us. And he proves that by giving us the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. It talks about you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, you grew up canning things, okay? I still make jelly. Sometimes I still make pickles. We seal them. What do? You put a seal on it when you're done making it to preserve it for a later time. The Holy Spirit seals us. Now, what did it mean in Paul's day? Remember, there are two questions when you look at the Bible. What did it mean to them? What does it mean to us? What did it mean to them? You wrote a letter. You put a seal on it. You stamped it with your signet ring. It means this is under the authority of whoever seals it. This was sealed by the person under authority. It can only be unsealed by the person it's addressed to. The seal is the symbol of the person that wrote it. And so there are all kinds of meanings when it talks about we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. God owns us. We belong to Him. Membership, citizenship, ownership, workmanship. Ephesians 2, by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. And the Greek word there is poema. We are his poem. We are his masterpiece, which he hath foreordained that we should walk in them. Holy Spirit's working on us. There's a little kid's song. He's still working on me. You know that song? You ever heard that song? Well, you know what? He's still working on me. I don't know about you. But he is still working on me. We are his workmanship. One of the things he's trying to produce is the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. He is still working on me. You see that little pin that sometimes people wear? PBPWMGIFWM. You ever seen that pin? Please be patient with me. God isn't finished with me yet. They asked a little girl in church one time, said, what's that pin say your mom has on? It says, please be patient with me. God isn't finished with my mother yet. Oh, yeah. The workmanship. God is working on us. Relationship. The ministry of relationship. Ephesians 1, 4, 14. The Holy Spirit, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession under the praise of His glory. Now, when you buy a house today, you put down a down payment. That is called earnest money. That is a portion given now with the promise to give the rest of it later. The earnest money. Paul talks about the earnest of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us now is just a down payment, a small down payment of what God is going to give us in the future. It goes something like this. The down payment is now, the future is a whole lot bigger. The down payment now is like a penny, and when you get to heaven, it's like you get the whole bank. The down payment now is like a drop of water, and when you get to heaven, you get the whole ocean. The down payment of the Spirit now is like an appetizer, and when you get to heaven, it's like you get the whole buffet. The down payment now is like a single tree, and when we get to heaven, it's like the whole grove of fruit. The earnest of the Spirit, the down payment of the Spirit in this life with the rest of it in the next life, the relationship. The partnership. We are partners in the church, Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Partnership. The Holy Spirit's in us. That's why it says in Ephesians 4:32, be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Have you noticed that this church is made out of bricks? Lots of bricks. Even the inside walls are bricks. Okay? Now, what separates the bricks from each other? Mortar. Now, if I took two of those bricks and just rubbed them together, would they rub each other the wrong way? Would they chafe each other? Would they scratch each other? Yeah. What keeps those bricks from rubbing each other is the mortar between the bricks. You and I are different people. We're all different. We're all individuals. We all have strengths. We all have weaknesses. We all have something that would rub somebody else the wrong way. And if I'm lying, I'm dying, right? But you know how God puts his church together of living stones? We are held together by the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart through the Spirit who was given unto us. We don't rub each other the wrong way because we have the tolerance and we have the patience and we have the long suffering of the Holy Spirit so that we can be one body in Christ and get things done for Jesus. Membership, citizenship, ownership, workmanship, relationship, partnership, companionship. I will pray unto you the Father, and he will give you another comforter that he may be able to abide with you, even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And comforter is really a weak translation of that word now. It really means strengthener. I will give you a strengthener. Parakletes. Para alongside of, kletes to be called alongside of. The Holy Spirit is called to be alongside us and strengthen us and bless us as we serve God and live the Christian life. Then there's leadership. The Holy Spirit's ministry is to lead us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. The leadership of the Holy Spirit. Companionship, leadership, rulership. He is to be the Lord of the boss of our lives. Ephesians 5:18. Be not drunk with wine when there is excess, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, there are several different kinds of drunks, and some of you have experienced this. There are talky drunks. They get drunk and they love to talk. Now, they may say the same thing over and over and over, but there are talky drunks. And then there are weepy drunks. They boo-hoo, okay? And you've known weepy drunks. Then there are angry drunks. They want to fight everybody, especially people that are bigger than them. I try not to go places where people are drunk because I'm a fairly big guy. People want to fight with me. You know, what is being drunk? The liquor, you know, someone says something and they're drunk. Well, that's the liquor talking. Yeah, it is. The liquor takes over the person and controls their actions and controls their speech. But the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein there is excess. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit take over your actions. Let the Holy Spirit take over your speech. Rulership. Mentorship. The Holy Spirit guides us, teaches us, and grows us. First of all, the Holy Spirit draws us. John 6:44. No one comes to God, the Father, except the Spirit draw him. Holy Spirit convicts us. John 16:8. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he shall convict you of all sin and righteousness and judgment. And the Holy Spirit teaches us. When the Holy Spirit shall come, he shall lead you into all truth and show you things to come. He teaches us. Companionship, leadership, rulership, mentorship, showmanship. The Holy Spirit is the one that makes us the salt of the earth and the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth, But if salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is good for nothing to be thrown out and to be trod underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine among men that they may glorify your church. No, that's not what it says. That you may glorify your God in heaven. The Holy Spirit gives us the power, the ministry of showmanship. We are salt in the world. We are light in the darkness. And that is one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit in our life. So you have the mention of the Holy Spirit, the mission of the Holy Spirit, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what he does for us. We couldn't do it without him. We forget about him, but we couldn't do it without him. And that's the way it is. The good news is, Colossians 1:27, Christ in you and in me, the hope of glory. D.L. Moody preached one time, and he had his critics. People didn't like him. One liberal came up to him one time and said, "Mr. Moody, I don't like the way you witness to people." And he said, "Well, how do you witness to people?" "Well, I don't." He says, "Well, I like the way I do it better than the way you don't do it." Okay? Someone listened to him preach one time and said, "You know, Moody talks like he's got a monopoly on the Holy Spirit." And someone looked at the man and said, "No, the truth is the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on Mr. Moody. We need more Moody's in the world today." There's a song that says, "Holy Spirit, all divine, dwell within this heart of mine. Cast down every idle throne, reign supreme and reign alone." That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And if you are saved today, you have the Spirit and you have his power and you have everything available to you as God living inside you. Now, if you're not, you don't. And you need to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior as we sing this invitation here.